The question the Sadducees pose to Jesus is something like, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? They're just trying to trip him up. Give you a little historical background and reflect a bit on the first reading about these seven brothers and their mother coming before the king. I mean, we might say, what's the big deal? Eat a ham sandwich, right? But it was not a part of the Jewish custom. It was against the law. And it makes sense when you think of, remember when many of us were growing up, the whole thing about you really got to cook pork because you don't want to have raw pork because of trichinosis. Well, the community, the ancient community, learned that if you eat pork, you get sick and die. So they had a rule, don't eat pork. The Maccabees, where this comes from, are really the first and second book of Maccabees, are really the last book in the Hebrew scripture. In other words, the last books in the Old Testament. Written somewhere around 150, 160 years before the birth of Jesus. The king that they're talking about, the historical background, the king was King Antiochus IV. And he was a Greek or a Hellenistic king who existed. And he persecuted the Jewish community. He was not a nice guy. He came to the throne sort of by murder, and he was considered by some a usurper because it was actually his brother who was the king who died, and the king, the role of king should have gone to his son, but his son was young and imprisoned in Rome, so Antiochus showed up in Antioch. Antioch is, remember in terms of Paul's ministry, Paul went to the church in Antioch, was a part of present-day Turkey. So he becomes the king, declares himself king. He gets the rich and the powerful on his side by providing the rich and powerful and helping them become richer and more powerful. So they supported him. And at the same time, the Jews in Jerusalem were rebelling against this Greek authority. Now what he did is he went into the temple in Jerusalem and he rededicated the temple in Jerusalem to Zeus, the god Zeus. And he slaughtered hundreds of pigs and spread pig blood all over the temple and all over the sacred writings and all over the ministers and the priests in the temple. And he was making them eat pig flesh because this was a huge sacrilege. And we have this reading where these seven brothers and their mother show up before him and he's doing his thing. And they say, nah, we don't want to play by your rules. This is a bad deal. We're not going to do it. And so he tortures them. And one at a time, he puts them to death in front of his mother. And this is all, this whole rebellion and whatever is also a part of history, but it's recorded both as history and as scriptural writings in the first and second book of Maccabees. My wife and daughter were really upset when I had a flip phone, you know. And they wanted me to get one of these because it's a smartphone. I said, I'm too dumb for a smartphone. I can never figure that stuff out. So I have in my hand a device that opens me to the intellectual wonders of the world. And many of us spend our time watching cat videos, insulting strangers, and playing solitaire, which goes back to my point, not smart, you know, too dumb for a smartphone. But one of the things I do with the smartphone is the daily reminder. How many of you found the daily reminders on your phone helpful? So as I've gotten older, I have a memory of a gnat. But there are three things that I have repeating every day on my smartphone. The first one is the list of people that I pray for, including some members of this congregation. The second thing is to remember to pray for the congregation, St. James. The third reminder are three words. Words create worlds. Say that after me. Words create worlds. The rest of my reflection goes back to that, those three words. Words create worlds. What kind of world was King Antiochus trying to create within the Jewish community? What kind of world were the seven brothers and their mothers trying to create? The prologue to the Gospel of John says this: in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made. All that was made through him had life. And the life was the light to the world. And the light shone in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Words matter. Words have power. One of the things that I experienced working and living in the inner city for many, many years is you'd be walking along and you'd hear, "Hey, hey, buddy, hey, hey, you, hey." I wouldn't turn around, I'd just keep walking. But if I'm walking and someone says, "Hey, Randy," then all of a sudden you got my attention, right? Those of you that are teachers, you're in your room, what's the first thing you do? You know the kids' names. Because if you're a teacher and you're in the room and little Randy's in the back screwing up, you go, "Hey, psst, hey, you, hey, hey." But if you say, "Randy," okay, now you got my attention. Or those of us who, when we were growing up, you knew you were in deep dog doo-doo when your mom or your dad used your full name, Randall J, rather than, "Hey, Randy." If they used the proper name, man, you knew you were in deep, deep trouble. Words matter. Words create worlds. They have power. We're told that in the prologue of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That power of words. Many of us remember words that were said to us in our lives that were very painful. "Oh, you're such a disappointment to me. You're lazy. You're not very cute." Even when they try to give you a compliment, right? "You don't sweat much for a fat man." So sometimes we really remember those very painful and very hurtful words. And they have a lot of power. Sometimes they can set the direction for your life, because words create worlds. On the other hand, some of us have had the honor and the luxury and the gift of having someone that really believed in you and said, come on, you can do this. Give it a shot. Let me show you how to do that. Great job. Come on, you can, one more step. Some of us have the honor and the gift of remembering those words as well. And they may have set a direction for us, a direction in our life, because words create worlds. What kind of a world was created for you if you grew up in a family that was toxic? Where you were told every day, you know, you're not going to amount to anything. You're lazy, you're this, you're that. What kind of a world does that create for a little one? Versus words that are encouraging and supportive. Many of us have gone through the death of a relationship, maybe a divorce. And we never thought we'd get through it. And you had someone there to be with you to say, yeah, you're okay. It feels like the end, but it's not the end. You'll get through this. We remember those words because those words created a world. Those words gave us hope. Words create worlds. What kind of a world, what kind of a family, what kind of a community have your words helped create? Because you can control your words. Both the words that you speak out loud and the words that you think in your head. Because sometimes we've internalized the negative words that we heard from other people. We hear those words telling us that we don't measure up somehow. And we heard that maybe when we were 5, 7, 10, 15 years old, 20 years old. And all of a sudden we're in our mid-40s or 50s and we still hear those words. And we let those words create our world. The statute of limitations has expired on those words. You don't have to listen to them anymore. You can do, and sometimes some of you have heard, positive self-talk. Why is that such a big deal? It's not a New Age concept. Because words create worlds. And we come into this heated political environment. Doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever you are, it doesn't matter. But be aware of the words, because the words create worlds. And the challenge for us, in terms of our lives, in terms of our family, and in terms of our community, is what kind of world do we want? I think that's ultimately the question for our parish. What's our role in creating a world? Because words create worlds. What kind of world? What kind of family? What kind of individual life? First letter of Peter says, honor everyone. Love the church. Fear God, honor the King. It's okay that we have honor and pride, commitment, dedication, loyalty to our country. And that you have that to your individual beliefs. But realize that words matter. And words create worlds. What kind of church? What kind of nation? What kind of family? What kind of individual life do you want? You can have what you want. So what do you want? Manage your words. Those of you that are grandparents Have you noticed, and I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm not a grandparent, but have you noticed that probably the way you talk to your grandchildren is significantly different than the way you talk to your own parent, your own kids? Well, you learn to do it different, right? Come to grandma's house and grandma can spoil them because you get to give them back to mom and dad, right? The light shone in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. That's our hope. That's the gift that John gives us in the gospel, the prologue to the gospel of John. That even the words of darkness that King Antiochus IV tried to lay at the feet of the seven brothers and their mother, even to the point of torture and death, they would not participate in it. They said, no, we'd die rather than participate in that, because those words would create a world that we don't believe in and we don't want to participate in. So as a church, what is our gift? What is our charism? And what are the words of hope and encouragement and comfort? What are the words that we can bring to ourselves, to our families, to the communities we serve, to the jobs that we live in, and to our nation, to our world? And as I've said before, as we go into these situations, it's worthwhile to think this: what's the most loving thing I can do in this situation? What's the most loving thing I can say? What's the most helpful thing I can say? Because words matter. Words create.